Episode 29 of Blackheart Gold Podcast, kind of an emergency session of the Blackheart Gold Podcast crew for what could only be described as a very interesting coaching hire by the Iowa State Cyclones. Hawkeye State, joined by Adam Jacoby, and we're joined by the one Cyclone fan we can tolerate, cross-side of Clone Chronicles. CC, how you doing?
Not too bad today. I'm expecting our next coach to be hired within the next week or so.
Yes. Well, my thought was Bruce Rasmussen would be named the head men's coach.
Well, the way the whole thing went down was just crazy because I posted on the blog that there was a rumor that we were going to have a head coach by tomorrow, which this was yesterday, so that was supposed to be by today. And I remember texting one of my friends and saying, of all the crazy rumors, yeah, you think we'll have a coach tomorrow? And then I texted him that, I took a nap, and I woke up 20 minutes later, and all hell's broken loose.
Now, for those of you who have been under a rock for the last 24 hours, or in Iraq, really for that matter, whatever.
Are you not supporting the troops?
Crickets from the peanut gallery on that one. Wow, that was cold. You guys are a tough crowd. Fail horn me.
We'll just see what Ricky Stanzi has to say about
that's right.
That.
Well,
anyway,
former Iowa State standout guard and now former Minnesota Timberwolves front office assistant something or other.
Assistant VP of basketball operations.
Okay. So basically he had Sam Alford's job with the Timberwolves.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fred Hoiberg has been named the new head coach at Iowa State. Fred has a long career in professional basketball in both playing and management, but has not really done anything on the college level until now. Cross-eyed, what was your initial reaction upon hearing the news as you awoke from your 20-minute nap?
You mean aside from holy shit?
That was mine too, actually, yeah.
I'll be honest. As much as I love Fred Hoiberg, he's probably my first real sports hero. I hated the hire just because you're hiring a guy with no coaching experience. And I guess the best analogy for it would be say you've got this kid in a school district who, you know, is everybody's favorite student. Everybody loves him. He's good at sports, all that stuff. He goes to college, goes and gets a doctorate. And he's eventually named the assistant superintendent of a floundering school district, which, you know, is the Minnesota Timberwolves. And so they don't really fix anything while he's a superintendent there. But his home school district decides that, hey, he's a hometown kid. Why don't we bring him back to start teaching? And we'll stick him in a middle school. So I kind of think it's like that because, you know, in that scenario, you've got a guy who doesn't know what he's getting into. He's been around schools, everything like that, but he has no idea what the little challenges that come along with the job are going to be.
I think that's a pretty solid analogy.
Yeah, I've been working on that one for a while.
It's a little convoluted. It takes a little bit of work. I like it.
Well, it was much more convoluted than how our coaching search went.
Yeah. Do you have, I mean, has there been any kind of word on the thought process that went into it? Was this Pollard's first call? I mean, I know that there was...
Yes. When they hired McDermott, Hoiberg had contacted Pollard and said that he wanted to be considered for the job, and Pollard had said, no, not at this time. We'll just kind of wait and see, and, you know, maybe if something happens in the future. And then as soon as there was word that McDermott had this opportunity at Creighton, I think Hoiberg started looking into it. And as soon as Pollard knew that he was leaving, he said his first call was to Hoiberg. And asked him if he'd be interested. Hoiberg said yes, and then he drove the 4 hours or whatever up to Hoiberg's place in Chaska, Minnesota.
He drove?
He went to?
Yeah, he drove up there.
Wow, that's one way of missing the flight aware crowd. Just hop in your 1992 Ford Taurus and hit the road, baby.
No, no. ISUADs drive 99 horses. Come on.
I'd prefer the Ford Festiva.
Nice. I can totally see that. In fact, that's getting photoshopped to put on the front page for this podcast right now. Jamie Pollard and a Festiva.
Speaking of photoshopping things and putting them on the front page, when I was talking with Crossside last night about these rumors, he had pointed me to something on a forum where there was somebody who had said somebody with connections saying that they were getting a whole lot of text messages about somebody with the last name starting with H. And but neither of us immediately went to Hoiberg right away.
And, no, because you'd think they'd hire a coach that had coached.
Right.
Shocking.
So I was like, Hicklider. And I started like getting everything, you know, I got a good picture of his face. I was going to put it on the Get a Brain Morans guy, like put a stupid redneck t-shirt on him. But not even after I just downloaded all the pictures to start working on it, I didn't actually start the work on it. And then Hoiberg's already announced. It's like, man,
were you inconsolable that you weren't able to finish that?
I finally was able to commiserate with the godfather of inconsolability himself.
Oh, God.
You guys are going to have to work to find some good material on Hoiberg.
Well, that's just it. Everybody loves the guy. Like, even I like Hoiberg. I remember Hoiberg from when I was a kid growing up in Western Iowa. He was a god. And I have a hard time, like, you know, getting Shen for any about this. Because he seems like a nice guy. I mean, he owns a car lot and, you know, kind of.
Is that your basis for determining how nice a person is?
No. good call.
He sells cars.
He can't be a bad person.
It just shocked me that was your first line of reasoning.
Yeah, I mean, he has a car lot.
Not that he's the mayor or anything like that.
He shoots threes. He sells cars. He can't be bad.
Of course not.
But, I mean, I can't even really get all riled up to make fun of you guys about this one, even though it doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense.
I'm sure you can still, like, slip in a Julius Meekalik joke or something somewhere.
Oh, that'll be going up tomorrow. We've been talking about that, yeah.
Yes. Don't.
Have no fear. You guys might have gotten hired before we could actually do the consulting post, but we'll make our presence known.
Well, he's still got two assistant spots to fill.
Yeah, is he going to keep the guys that McDermott had just hired?
Nurse is going back to the Iowa Energy, and Gray are staying on.
Okay.
Wow. What about the, what's his name, Otzelmeyer?
Otzelberger.
Yeah, that's it.
he's staying on. He's going to be the associate head coach. And as far as I know, all the players that have planned on returning, that everybody planned on returning, are returning. Every recruit for at least this coming season still plans on coming to Iowa State, and Justin Hamilton's considering a return to the team.
Wow.
What a novel idea, bringing everybody back when you're a brand new coach.
We don't know what that's about.
No.
It's still an improvement over the last guy.
Yeah, so what was your – I mean, in the end, clearly it wasn't going to work out particularly well, but what was your, you know, final recollection of the – Greg McDermott era at Iowa State?
Well, I suppose I was never a fan of him being hired, just because I kind of wanted us to go the Larry Eustace route when we hired a guy. But what I mean by that is I wanted a guy that had won a conference championship at a mid-major or a low major, someone who'd shown a lot of success in conference. And when you look at McDermott, when he was at UNI, his best conference record was 11-7. So it's not like he totally destroyed his peers in that conference. Sure, he built the UNI program up, but I don't know if you could say he really excelled there. But I've talked with some of the players, and I know some people, and apparently Greg's just the nicest guy in the world. But for whatever reason, the players don't like him. I talked to a former player a couple days ago, and he said, I think Petey, and that's Brian Peterson, he's now a grad assistant, or he was a grad assistant for Mac, said, I think Petey's the only player that actually liked Mac. And so I don't know. I don't know what
But he was a nice guy?
Yeah, apparently he's the nicest guy in the world, willing to help anybody, but...
Was he just, like, not a very good coach? Was that the problem then? What would engender any sort of resentment toward him if he's not mean?
I guess some of the things I'd heard were he was sort of uneven in how he treated the players. Yeah. He'd been accused of showing some favoritism, and he'd also... I guess he was kind of bipolar sometimes in terms of being a nice guy and then, you know, kind of losing it in practice. And
never seen anything like that at Iowa.
No, of course not. Who knows? I think it was a healthy combination of stuff that was his fault and stuff that wasn't his fault, because some of the stuff I do think was beyond his control. But I just don't think it was the right fit.
Sure. Well, you know what's really interesting? I think the McDermott and Licklider scenarios are more similar than it would initially appear, because in both cases, the school made what seemed like a pretty intelligent hire. You know, the coaches came with some decent to pretty good credentials.
I love the Licklider hire for Iowa.
Yeah, sure. So did we. And, you know, Coach of the Year and all that. But
I didn't like it.
Did you?
I hated it. I thought it was a terrible hire. I thought we should have listened
to We only should have listened to you. No, but if you look at the programs where each guy came from, they've been replaced with some 30-year-old dude, and they've hit, like, historic new highs. You know, you and I went to the Sweet 16. Butler went to the fucking championship. You know, with even less.
Are you saying this
coaches.
Bodes well for the 37-year-old Hoiberg?
Well, I'm saying that we probably have to come to the realization that the reason that Butler and you and I weren't that they didn't drop off is because those athletic departments are set up for success a whole lot more than Iowa's and Iowa State's are. And so I think that doesn't bode well for Hoiberg, just because, you know, if somebody can win at UNI but not at ISU, how's that the coach's fault?
I don't know. And I think part of it's the support staff, too. I mean, keeping Osselberger on is – obviously a good thing for Hoiberg, but the other guys that McDermott surrounded himself with, just as far as Coach Smith, Coach Rutter, I don't know if they really helped him out near as much as having a guy like Jacobson would have.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And
him and Jacobson had been with each other forever, and I think it was some poster on Cyclone Fanatic, which I'm sure you guys agree is a bastion of sports knowledge.
Hey, they whiff a lot, but they try hard.
Yeah. I just saw where that line came from today. I can't think of a better way to describe you guys.
And I love that whiff is misspelled in it. That's what makes it art.
Well, my favorite thing was, when we lost Chizik to Auburn, there's a link to the blog, my blog on there, and some guy said, well, who really cares what some foul-mouthed writer from the Big 12 North thinks? I just linked to that, and I said, this is one of the greatest compliments I've ever had from someone from Alabama.
Nice.
But
anyway, back to the situation at hand here. So, I'm guessing if the guy from the Iowa Energy went back to the Iowa Energy, then he's probably looking for somebody who's a little more X's and O's for the third spot, would be the assumption.
Yeah, and he said as much. I believe he wants to try and get a guy that's got head coaching experience. Well, the name I've actually heard connected was Reggie Theus.
No.
He's an assistant coach with the Minnesota
Timberwolves. I heard today that Theus actually contacted Pollard about the job.
Yeah, I'd heard that too.
Yeah. I heard today, the names I heard today before, I mean, you know, obviously Hoiberg was already announced by last night, but I heard today from two people who are pretty close to it that both, it was Theus and Gillespie, were both very, very interested.
Of course.
Yeah, I'd heard of Gillespie.
Reggie Theus is connected with every single job opening ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and has been for about the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, he who knows if he's ever going to get a job or if he's just going to live off of, he was a candidate.
But, also considered.
But you know, I don't think anything will surprise me anymore.
Now, what we've been wondering all along, and I think this is probably the question that really needs to be answered here: will this lead to the return of Wayne Morgan?
If he returns, who's going to sell satellite dishes and names?
The Fort Dodge State Pen needs satellite dishes. Wayne Morgan has to stay on the job.
That's a void for Licklider, I suppose.
Yeah, he could do that. Although
he seems like the kind of guy that could push satellite dishes.
Oh, absolutely.
And by that I mean quit his job.
He'd be the guy in the store that doesn't want to be too pushy about it, but he'll keep, you know, giving you a pamphlet. Just you know, think about it. Look at all these channels.
He'd be, well, you know, actually, you could probably do better than the satellite dish. Yeah, you don't need this. What am I thinking? No, you don't want this one. No, I'll just go away.
I wonder if is that the same way he recruited to Iowa?
That's exactly how he recruited Iowa.
Yeah.
How else do you think he landed a guy who's now at Florida?
It's kind of like, well, you know, I think Iowa would work for you. You know, it might not, but if it doesn't, you know, you can change in 9 to 12 months after you get out of your contract.
Now, Cross-Eyed, were you at the actual unveiling today?
No, I have a job.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, fancy pants.
Have you seen anything, like any video feeds or anything? Because I was reading on Twitter today, Keeler was up there and made it sound like the Beatles had just hit.
Oh, yeah. I've watched the press conference. I'm surprised it wasn't at Hilton. I'm honestly
surprised too.
I figured they'd try and jam as many people in there as they could, but probably not so much at 10:30 on a Wednesday. but yeah, there's people that are really excited, and I know I posted that. I think it will result in increased ticket sales, if nothing else, for all the Cougars that remember Freddie.
How old is he now?
37.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Makes me feel old.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It makes me feel old, too.
Yeah.
I know, I'm in my mid-20s.
See, and I'm in my late 20s, and yeah, I feel ancient now. Freddie Hoiberg is 37, and he's coaching Iowa State. I have to actually
cut my head. He's got four kids, too.
Wow. Well, that's why he's taking the job. It's the pay bump.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, you know, affordable housing in Ames.
Just to get away from the Timberwolves.
That, too.
The taint of suck was almost too overwhelming to wash off at this point. But then he goes to Iowa State. Wait a second, that makes no sense.
No, it's just moving south. The suck cloud.
They're the Timberwolves of the Big 12. What is
ouch.
That?
That's harsh.
Better paycheck.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Now, he's got to have a ridiculous honeymoon here, right? I mean, he's going to get at least 3-4 years of tongue-biting criticism at best, or at worst, before anybody really says anything.
Oh, yeah, you guys know how patient Cyclone fans are. I think he will get a little bit of a grace period. Anybody that doesn't plan on Iowa State sucking complete and utter balls this winter is fooling themselves. No matter if they bring in anyone else or not, I'd really think that you really should set your expectations at about 12 wins for this winter. But I think what Iowa State fans will want and what they didn't see from McDermott is some semblance of progress. Because mm-hmm. if you look at his record over the 4 years, his best year was his first year.
Yeah, and he had just a boatload of talent by the time it was all said and done. He kept bringing in guys, and it never really worked.
You make a point. I mean, it's not a really good one. I wouldn't call it a boatload of talent. Maybe, you know, a life raft from Cuba full of talent.
Yeah, when you've watched Iowa basketball for the last 3 years, you guys had like the Titanic.
Well, yeah, because you're comparing it to floating on a piece of cardboard.
Right. Well, exactly.
No, we're comparing it to sinking. There's no flotation.
That hot glued Camaro is looking pretty damn good right now.
Yeah. But I don't know. I do agree that this last team was the most talented that he had, and it was the most underachieving one.
Speaking of hot glued Camaro, what's going on behind you?
it's parking lot behind my apartment. Ah. Everybody's revving their engines.
Well, must be Ames.
That make
it's Pollard's Ford Festiva.
So at the end of the day, this was a complete face-saving move by Pollard, right? This is, please don't fire me. I'll bring in the guy that you all want to see.
I think he read what I wrote, that I think it's the sort of hire that his job should depend on. I really think he tried to emulate the Paul Rhodes hire. Except I don't think there's any way Hoiberg would ever leave, aside from getting fired or stepping down. I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that Rhodes would not ever leave. I'm not sure he was ever an Iowa State fan growing up. He says he was a fan of football in the state of Iowa.
Oh, Hawkeyes. So,
well, yeah.
I think if he was an Iowa State person growing up, he'd have said as much.
Right.
Yeah.
You find the baby pictures if that's the case.
Yeah. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he ever left, but then again, nothing with Iowa State athletics ever surprises me anymore.
Yeah, he'll get a big offer from Penn State. That's what's going to happen. Hoiberg's going to end up at Penn State.
Sorry, guys.
They're giving me a bunch of money.
There's so much more talent in Pennsylvania.
I expect him to get hired away after two really crappy years.
There you go. Anyway.
I think it was a very good hire, because if you think, okay, what does a coach need to be successful? He's got to know the game. He's got to be able to recruit. And he's got to be able to impart his knowledge onto the players and have them, you know, execute it successfully. And also put in the work, you know, the extremely long hours that it takes to, you know, to succeed as a coach. Now, experience plays a pretty big role in that. By Hoiberg's 10th year of coaching, if he's still coaching in 10 years, he's going to be better than he is today. But I don't think anybody would doubt the fact that Hoiberg knows enough about the game of basketball as it is right now. Right?
I agree.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would disagree that he'll at least be able to recruit like hell in the state of Iowa.
I'm not sure about that, because I think the kids that are going to be recruited now, I don't know if they'll remember Hoiberg, because I just barely remember him. Their moms, coaches, though.
Yeah, their coaches, their moms, their parents. I think that he's certainly got more of an advantage in recruiting locally than McCaffrey does. And I was probably.
By the way, can I lead the charge to call McCaffrey's coaching staff the Fantastic Four?
Absolutely. We'll adopt that.
Done.
That's a fantastic idea. And just for that, you're like an unofficial member of the BHGP crew anymore, anyway. So just for that.
Yeah. Don't tell any of your ISU friends about that, but it is the case.
Yes.
That's an honor, I think. Are you saying I'm swinging hard right now?
You're swinging. You whiff a lot, but you're trying.
And, you know, he's he hasn't coached, but he's been in a management role on a basketball team for the entire time after he was playing on a team.
That's a generous description of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Well, I think that their problems, like Iowa State's, are so endemic and deep-rooted that there's nothing that he could have done to save them. You know, pinning the failures of that team on Fred Hoiberg is sort of like blaming your shoelaces for a 6 minute or a 6 second 40 time. You know, it's there's probably some horribly things going horribly wrong outside of that. No, but he's been in the game of basketball since he was getting pubes, you know? So he doesn't have the experience, but that's going to come. And the curve's going to be the steepest at the beginning. You know, there's going to be diminishing returns after, say, his second year coaching. So, you know, the timing's not right, but at this point, idealism has to go out the window, and Pollard had to be practical. And practically speaking, I think Hoiberg was the best candidate for the job at that moment. And so I think he'll succeed to an extent. Like, if you were to put the over-under on NCAA tournament appearances by Hoiberg at ISU at – well, okay, let's put it at 1.5. Would you take the over or under on that?
Give me a time period on that, because – it comes,
for as long as he's at Iowa State.
Because it's such a sticky situation. If it doesn't work out, how you'd have to fire an Iowa State legend, so I don't know if he'd get more time or less time. I'd go with – I want to say push, but that's not going to work.
What, an NIT appearance there for the half?
No, but there's not going to be an NIT.
I know. That's
eventually,
sad.
When they go 96, yeah.
I'd go with the over, but – I'm just hesitant about it, like I am about the hire, because do you make that hire with the exact same resume if it's not Fred Hoiberg?
That's exactly my point.
No, but that guy's not going to want to coach at Iowa State if it's not Fred Hoiberg.
Sure.
Well, okay. Here's my point and my counterpoint to what Adam just said. Hoiberg, I think Crosshead just made the right point here. Hoiberg played at Iowa State from 91 to 95. The typical recruit he's going to talk to this year was born in 93. So there's no way you're going to get anybody who remembers that. And you talk to, like, Greg Beilein always said that the biggest problem he had at Michigan was that all the fans want to talk about the Fab Five, and none of the kids he had knew the Fab Five. And so, yes, the coaches and the parents will probably know his name and will remember him fondly, as we all do. But the kids themselves don't. And it's going to be much more about, you know, what can you do for me? Now, he's got pro ties, which certainly helps, but when the big statement from your former employer comes from David Kahn, it's not exactly a ringing endorsement. If I was Iowa State, I would feel much better about this if it had been Reggie Theus as coach and Fred as his top assistant than the other way around, if that's the way it plays out. At least Theus has some coaching experience in college and has shown he can recruit and he can work the X's and O's well enough to get by.
And I'll also say I'll pull for Freddie like hell. I mean, I want this to work out, obviously. It's just I think it was a move more to placate the fan base and to sell tickets.
Right.
Than worrying about winning right away, which, I mean, obviously – even with an experienced coach, it was going to be a while before they start winning. But I think Pollard's balls are on the line, more or less.
Well, I think we're talking about that with McCaffrey, too. I think if you're an AD, especially in Pollard's case, where he's had just this kind of bizarre mass attrition from his revenue sports over the last 18 months, every hire you make is going to be pretty close to that. And if you don't get more than one bite at the apple on a big sport like basketball in Ames, you know, he took a shot with McDermott, didn't work. This is about it. The same thing with Barta with McCaffrey is it's kind of, if McCaffrey doesn't work, he's pretty much done.
The only difference is, I don't know what the relationship's like at Iowa, but President Joffrey loves Jamie Pollard.
Yeah.
Almost as much as Pollard loved Chizik, apparently. I think Joffrey would be something worse than inconsolable if Pollard ever left. But I don't know if if this hire is one that his job would rest on. I think in a normal athletic department, which God knows Iowa State isn't, it would be the sort of hire where you're saying, yeah, if this doesn't work out, it might not work out with you, but like I said, Iowa State's far from a normal functioning athletic department, so I have no clue.
Well, if you ever find the bright side of the road, you get a home with us. We'll make the hire eventually. Cross-eyed, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for him. He writes at Clone Chronicles along with Kiefer and makes more than an infrequent appearance on Blackheart Gold Pants talking about Stirsic potato chips.
which I can never praise them enough.
All right, thanks, bud.